take your take on ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80, the ESPN app, and on ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you the question, if you could give Michael Jordan any other running mate in NBA history other than Scottie Pippen, who would it be? Get on the phones right now, 888-SAY-ESPN. We've got some headlines here, top of the hour. Pen to paper in Miami. Tua has agreed to a 4-year, $30 million contract with the Miami Dolphins. And Major League Baseball owners have approved a proposal for a return-to-play scenario that targets an early July return. Commissioner Rob Manfred will now present the offer to players and get the vote from the players' union. Let's head to the phone lines. Bruce from Mississippi, patiently waiting to weigh in. Who would you give Michael Jordan as a running mate other than Scottie Pippen? Bruce, who would it be?
Well, I got to watch Julius Erving. I'm 64 years old. I was born on Long Island and got to watch most of his career at the Nassau Coliseum. You are right. He was amazing. He was like a man against boys. His one regret, he told me, is he was born 15 years too early. Could you imagine his value right now if he was playing in the NBA? But if he was playing along with MJ, they would need two basketballs to play with. But as far as I'm concerned, Julius Erving was Michael Light. He has all the scoring, but none of the psycho. And one quick thing, every time I see Scottie Pippen, I said, you sat down, you sulked like a 6-year-old schoolgirl. That's the only thing I remember of his career. You don't want to go in, just sit here, and we'll manage to. Do you happen to think he was hoping the ball wouldn't go in? Do you think he was hoping that he would miss the shot?
That can't be. I mean, Bruce, great, great thoughts about Julius. Look, I mean, for me, you know what? With Scottie, to me, it's tough to define a guy's entire career based on one moment. And I recognize it's the polar opposite of everything we've seen from Michael Jordan in this documentary, but I can't crush Pippen's entire career based on one moment. And I think we've gotten to see some of the backstory with Pippen and some of the anger there, and it doesn't it doesn't allow for that to happen. I'm not giving him a free pass on that, but I'm not condemning his entire career based on one moment that I'm willing to bet he would like to have back. Jose from Miami, who do you think? Who would you give Michael Jordan as a running mate other than Scottie Pippen in the history of the NBA?
Hey, how are you, man? I love the topic that you chose. As I've been sitting here on hold, I had originally called with Charles Barkley. I feel, from what I remember from Charles, he had two things that he could bring to the table. The rebounding, he always had an offense. And my one thing as I was sitting and listening to everybody else is, I don't know how he would have been handling the issues of if he was slacking a little bit in practice. I think Charles would have had something to say. I don't know if it would have made them both better or whatnot, but I think if Michael would have gotten on him too much, maybe the relationship wouldn't have lasted as long as Michael and his other teammate. And one other thing, that knock on Scottie Pippen, it was a brat move on his part, but there's no way that defines his career.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, Jose. That's a great thought. And I'm with you, by the way, on the Barkley thing, too. I mean, like, as great as Barkley was, those are two of the most alpha males that you can find. So whether or not Charles would have always been on board with the way Jordan wanted to do things, that's a good question there. Dwayne from Virginia. Dwayne, who do you have?
I got Shaquille O'Neal.
Tell me why.
Because Mike would have got the best out of Shaquille O'Neal. His career would have been better. He would have won more championships with Michael Jordan, and Michael would have been motivated to Shaquille O'Neal. He would have pushed him more to stay in shape and made him more accountable.
And probably a little vice versa. Can you imagine that combination? Can you imagine the most dominant player in the history of the game with the greatest player in the history of the game? I mean, it was enough that we had Kobe and Shaq together. I mean, Kobe's in the discussion of greatest of all time. But yeah, he's not the greatest of all time. Michael is the greatest of all time. Can you imagine Jordan and Shaq together? That's a great thought. Hey, by the way, tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Great discussion. I think it started the show today on First Take. Patrick Mahomes, the early MVP front runner at 4-1 odds, but who's the biggest threat to win it in 2020? Dan Orlovsky joined the show to discuss. Max said Lamar. Stephen A. said Tom Brady. How about Dan? Take a listen.
I told you guys for a while now, and I gave Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics credit, of course, Lamar Jackson was the most accurate 21-year-old passer in the history of the NFL. So the fact that he wasn't accurate by the standards of elite quarterbacks, you have to factor in his age. He's gotten better and better every season. And then last season, as Dan Orlovsky, you've pointed out with the three tight end sets and everything, he was the most valuable player of the league. So that guy, who has probably not yet entered his prime, at least not as a passer, you get him two sure-handed receivers in the draft. He was on a 14-win team last year, and he was the whole offense. Right? Like, the whole thing is predicated on what he can do. Even if that team goes backwards and only wins 12 games and Lamar Jackson shows improvement, he remains the biggest threat to Patrick Mahomes as the most valuable player in the NFL.
I disagree. And that's not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson. I think he's electrifying, and obviously we're running the football. And he has improved his accuracy. He deserves a lot of credit. But I think that the division is going to be a little bit tougher this year. The Browns have upgraded the coaching position, as far as I'm concerned, with Stefanski. The Steelers got Big Ben Roethlisberger returning. I think there's going to be tough going in that division alone, let alone the rest of the AFC. So we can't ignore that reality. Then I have to look at it from this perspective. I'm all about Tom Brady right now. Godwin and Evans, along with O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, with Tom Brady behind center. This is a guy that hasn't thrown more than 13 interceptions in a season since like 2008 or something along those lines. This guy is coming in there. He's highly motivated. He's going to be playing, I'm not going to say a run and gun NFC South, but damn it, it's pretty close when you consider how New Orleans plays. The kind of potency that the Atlanta Falcons should have on the offensive side of the ball with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and those boys. I'm of the mindset that on a lot of occasions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have to put up points in order to win games. And if they're going to have to put up points, in all likelihood, it's going to be through the air as opposed to on the ground, particularly with the weapons that he has available. By virtue of style of play alone, the competition that he's going against, combined with the weapons that he has available to him, I think the way to go in this particular question is regarding Tom Brady.
I mean, they're both great answers, guys. I would go with Russell Wilson. You know, over the last 3 years, no quarterback leads or no one has more touchdowns accounted for than Russell Wilson. And if I look at the makeup of their team, first of all, you get a second-year player in DK Metcalf that's in the same system, and that matters this year. And usually when you take these second-year receivers and expect their growth, you can go, okay, probably going to get another 20 to 25 catches, another 300 or 400 yards, and, you know, maybe another two or three touchdowns. Well, last year he had about 60 catches, 900 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So we're looking at a guy in DK Metcalf that could go up to 80 catches, 1,300 yards, and 10-plus touchdowns. And then Tyler Lockett's another 1,000-yard receiver almost annually. So that's a really good 1-2 combination. And then the addition of Greg Olsen. Like, Greg Olsen really hasn't had a receiver outside of him in the likes of DK Metcalf and Lockett, probably since Steve Smith down in Carolina. And so if Greg is healthy, those are three really good weapons for Russell Wilson, who was really 1-2, 1-2-3 last year in the MVP race.
Hey,
and the additions that they made to their football team are going to be massive. Also, a better offensive line. The two caveats that I would have for you guys, and Stephen, I know you want to talk, but the two caveats I would have is I do think it's going to take Tampa Bay a month to get up to speed because there's not going to be much offseason. They're going to be a drastically different offense in the back end of November and December than they will in September. And then, Max, I love Lamar Jackson and the point. The two kind of maybe asterisks I have for conversation is, how do they replace Marshall Yanda? That's a huge question. And then they traded Hayden Hurst. So that really made that three tight end package at least different. How do they replace those two players? But I think they're all three great options.
Look, you can talk about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson and Tom Brady, go down the list. You can't go wrong. But I agree with Stephen A. I think the AFC North is going to be a lot better this year. I'm not sure the Ravens win 14 games again, and I'm not sure the teams don't dig in a little on Lamar Jackson and see about bringing him back down to earth just a little bit. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We're asking the question, if you could give Michael Jordan any other running mate in NBA history other than Scottie Pippen, who would it be? Jim from Wyoming, who do you say?
How you doing?
I'm great, Jim. Who do you think?
I'm saying LeBron James. I'm looking through his stats through his first 15 years, and it's just increase, and Michael Jordan had a down crease through his career, but LeBron, he's kept it at a steady pace each year through 2019, 25 points this year, still averaging 49% from the field. It's just outstanding. I look at LeBron, 44 points.
I mean, you put LeBron James out there with Michael Jordan. I don't think anyone's going to debate the level of greatness that you'd get out of those two players. Al from Pennsylvania, how about you?
Hey, this is probably cheating since he technically did play with Jordan, but I would say Dennis Rodman.
Interesting. All right, to expand on that, why Rodman as your first choice?
One, because you saw in the documentary, Rodman needed that kind of he needs that kind of leadership. He would thrive with Jordan at the helm like that, and Jordan knew he could count on Rodman. Like when he was on the court, he could count on Rodman when Rodman was focused. So there'd be no, so like with Charles Barkley, there'd be no alpha dog fighting. Rodman would come to work and he would do his job. And secondly, if you look at like I don't have it right now, but statistically, Rodman is a complete outlier. Like you look over like wins replacements and all that. When people were making the case for Rodman as Hall of Fame, Rodman was just statistically a huge outlier. But I think overall, he would have been perfect for Jordan because he would thrive under Jordan's leadership. Style of leadership.
He did. I mean, that, you know, that's a good point. I mean, you know what? Michael was like kind of, other than maybe Chuck Daly early in Rodman's career, he was kind of the one to maximize Dennis Rodman, the player, while dealing with Dennis Rodman, the person. I'm probably starting my list in the history of NBA players with someone ahead of Dennis Rodman. Rodman's a great complimentary piece, but that's an opinion you're entitled to. We appreciate the call. Kev from Florida. Kev, how about you? Who are you going with?
I've got a shocker for you, sir. Penny Hardaway.
Ooh.
I think that his ball handling, his ability to get the ball off the court, I think that would complement Jordan's game very well. And like everybody else has said, Jordan would definitely get the best out of him.
Listen, you know what? Penny Hardaway is a guy who, you know, he makes it to the finals that one year. If he wins, you know, is his career thought of a little bit differently if he's got multiple championships on there? I mean, part of Penny Hardaway, people forget how terrific a player Penny Hardaway was, particularly early in his career. And by the way, the celebrity that went along with Penny Hardaway. I mean, he was a marketable guy. Like Jordan had a shoe. That's a good thought. Again, maybe if you're offering me the last 25 years, Penny's on the list. I'm not sure I'm putting Penny ahead of guys like Magic Johnson or Shaq right now, but that's an interesting thought. Hey, a reminder, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 Eastern ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast. It's presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Is Tom Brady still a franchise quarterback? That's another debate the guys had this morning. Dan Orlovsky sticking around. Stephen A. says this year he thinks he is. Dan Orlovsky says he could change the franchise.
he will be a franchise quarterback this season because I think he has the requisite weapons available to him to cover any mistakes that he makes, to minimize the mistakes that he might normally make, because he doesn't have to force anything. Guys are going to be open. Mm-hmm. Godwin and Evans are going to be open. With Braden Howard, they're going to be open. With Gronkowski, somebody's going to be open, and Brady is going to get them the football. And I have profound evidence to support my assertion. Jameis Winston. Yes, he threw 30 interceptions. Yes, he should be the reigning defensive player of the year at the quarterback position, considering the fact that he's a 30-for-30 guy, giving new meaning to that for us. But guess what? He did throw 33 touchdowns. He did throw 5,109 yards. Jameis Winston. And so I look at that, and I look at a guy like Tom Brady, who hasn't thrown more than 13 interceptions in a season in more than a decade, and I look at the requisite weapons he's going to have available to him. Those players around him will make him look like a franchise quarterback. Because remember, as I've said to Max on 1,000 occasions, I have never in my life seen a quarterback successful throwing the football to himself. You got to have people to throw the football to. He has that now. And he has those weapons. And I think that he will look like a franchise quarterback this coming season.
No question. Max, before you go, let me just jump in here. Because I teed it up to Stephen A saying franchise quarterback, which obviously he is, and Stephen A agrees. But what I meant to say was franchise changing quarterback. Like, can he still change the face of this franchise like what Mike Evans alluded to? So my apologies there.
That's exactly what he's going to do.
I mean, look.
That's exactly what he's going to do. Go ahead,
look,
Max.
Jameis Winston won 7 games last year with this offense, statistically a pretty good defense, as it turns out, and a lot of weapons, and won 7 games, as Stephen A. said, throwing 30 interceptions and giving the other team 112 points. You could argue that's the worst starter who played the whole season in football last year, right? That's a hell of a defensive player of the year candidacy, Stephen A., as you mentioned. And so if you ask, does Tom Brady, even in decline, improve your chances over that, I would say yes. Especially when you give him a security blanket. Rob Gronkowski on top of an embarrassment of riches on the offense. And then you get him atop. Listen, mock drafts, including guys on this show came out. I think it was Mel Kiper who took worse to go to the Giants. First offensive lineman taken. The Bucks somehow snag him where they drafted. So Brady has every single thing he needs. And to me, this looks like a 9 or 10 win team. So, is he a franchise-changing quarterback? Any competent quarterback replacing Jameis Winston should, I guess, change the franchise in the sense that they're hovering right around 500. You flip a couple games, and all of a sudden, they're a playoff contender, and Brady happens to be the guy. But I don't think he's a franchise-changing quarterback in the way that everyone means. People keep pointing to the Tampa Bay Bucks history. Yes, the history, which has nothing to do with right now. They're coming off a 7-win season, as I mentioned, with a quarterback with a really bad year when you look at the entirety of his season and what he did. Is he going to change? Like, will he bring more attention? Yes. Will he give him a good feeling? Yes. Should they have a winning record given everything they have? Yes. But is he the savior of the franchise? A guy's going to take a really bad franchise, which they haven't been very recently, and make it a great franchise? No, I don't think so.
I would strongly disagree, Max. Yes, he's a franchise-changing quarterback for the Buccaneers now, and he will have franchise-changing impact on them for the long run. Let's look at off the field. And the word that I've used ever since Brady went to Tampa Bay was urgency. Not only are the players going to have more urgency from the moment Brady signed forward, that means urgency with his offseason workouts, urgency understanding their playbook, urgency with how they have they're going to have to practice, urgency with how they take care of their body. None of these players have been around a guy like Tom Brady. This guy's breaking into parts working out. That is going to have an impact and effect on everybody on that football team, not only for this season, but for the long haul. Also, there's going to be an urgency within their front office and coaching staff, maybe like they've never felt before. And that's Bruce Arians, who's had Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Big Ben, and Andrew Luck was certainly trending in that direction. But the urgency that he is going to feed into everybody is going to have not only this tangible impact now, but for the future.
Hey, listen, for me, the notion that the answer to anything other than yes, Tom Brady is still a franchise-changing quarterback, is absurd. Hey, the All-In Challenge fundraising initiative continues, and you can still bid on or enter to win great sports experiences and items, and it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need. Many exciting experiences are closing this week, including a Pittsburgh Pirates experience, where you get to have a 30-person softball game at PNC Park. There's a chance to play a doubles match with Andy Roddick, and there's even the ultimate UFC experience in Las Vegas with Dana White and actress Halle Berry. We can't underscore that enough. And actress Halle Berry. 100% of the money raised will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate or learn more about how these organizations help, visit allinchallenge.com. Did I say actress Halle Berry? Anyway, we've been asking you throughout the course of the afternoon if you could give Michael Jordan one running mate in NBA history. Who would it be? Get on the phones and let us know. We continue our primetime NBA players ranking next. Who's number 14? Find out coming up.
Regular season MVP has never motivated me. To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me.
We're counting down the NBA's best with our first take primetime players. Pretty interesting. Each day we'll reveal and debate a player from our top 15 ranking as voted on by our ESPN NBA experts. Who's in? Who's out? Who's number one? You'll know I'll have something to say about all this. First Take NBA Primetime Players, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Back on First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Kevin Connors hanging with you. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. You heard Stephen A. talking about the First Take primetime players. Jimmy Butler was 15th. Let's find out who comes in at number 14.
Next up on our First Take NBA primetime players ranking is Kyrie Irving.
Mesmerizing.
Despite only playing 20 games this season, Irving recorded two 50-point games. One of four players this season with multiple such games.
He is putting on a show. It's just silly.
After being drafted first overall out of Duke, he has won Rookie of the Year, an NBA title, and an Olympic gold medal.
Irving puts it up. It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown.
Player number 14, Nets guard Kyrie Irving.
The uber-talented Kyrie Irving. First Take primetime players, Kyrie coming in at number 14. And this morning, Max and Stephen A. debated whether or not Irving deserves 14 with his off-the-court antics. Take a listen.
Kyrie is radioactive. Look, I've said he's the most skillful player in the history of basketball. I don't mean he has the wisdom as to know when to deploy his skills, how much of it and when. That wisdom he does not yet have to the extent that some of the greatest players ever had. But skills-wise, when you include the handles, the shot, the finishing in the paint, what doesn't he do? Passing, he is a great, on the offensive end, as skillful a player as ever existed. So he has a lot of power there. But what radioactive actually means is you have an unstable nucleus. If you harness that energy, you have, you know, nuclear energy, which can be an incredibly good thing. And LeBron James was able to harness that energy and help use Kyrie to beat the Warriors game 7 at Oracle the year the Warriors won 73 games. But left without someone who knows how to harness that energy, and that includes Kyrie himself, he can have a destructive, the kind of instability can have of the nucleus of the team, can have a destructive, a deleterious effect on the team. I give you first the Celtics and then the Brooklyn Nets. In both instances, you took a talent like Kyrie off the team and they actually got better. That should never happen. Incredibly powerful, but not fully stable enough to really harness that power all the time. Radioactive.
Well, thank you, Dr. Phil Kellerman. I really, really appreciate that psychological breakdown. I'm so touched by it. My word would be special.
I'm glad.
Because the brother is special. It's not just that he's averaging 27. There are a lot of good basketball players in the NBA. Very few are great. He's one of the great ones. Then you take into account the fact that he is a showstopper. He is box office. Kyrie Irving, you walk through the turnstiles to watch the show that this brother is capable of putting on. As you said, Max, in the past, he might have the greatest handle in the history of basketball. This is a league that has had Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson, Nate Tiny Archibald, etc. And you might say that Kyrie Irving has the greatest handle in the history of basketball. Let me not forget Chris Paul, too. All right, still, Kyrie Irving is that kind of dude. Radioactive and all of that stuff, you can use that. My response would be the Boston situation is an example. He didn't handle a lot of things in terms of his personal life so well that particular year, no doubt about that. Last year, you walk into a new situation, new guys. Kenny Atkinson was somebody that they liked, but a lot of guys didn't believe in and should have been and didn't believe should have been the head coach. And lo and behold, he is gone. Jacques Vaughn was your interim coach for two games. He was 2-0, but he ain't going to be the damn head coach of the Brooklyn Nets next season. It'll probably be Ty Lue or Mark Jackson. Ty Lue would be the front runner there if they're smart. And so when you look at it from that perspective, there is, when we talk about the Brooklyn Nets and what the expectations are, it's the combination of Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving. He is special. Is it ideal? Could he have worked things out with LeBron and stayed in Cleveland? Yes. But did it prevent them from getting a championship? No, it did not. They won a title. He finished
right,
the deal.
Because...
Oh, by the way, in the two finals that – hold on, wait a minute. In the two finals that he was there, he averaged 27 and 29 respectively, if I remember correctly. He was that elite, okay? So when I look at him, I'm saying, yeah, you can say radioactive. I can't summarily poo-poo that. I get all that. But the bottom line is this brother is so special of a talent. He is box office. You walk through the turnstiles to watch him. He's electrifying. He's skilled. And by the way, he's a champion, too. We can't forget all of that. I think special should usurp radioactive.
All right, so Stephen A. saying special. Max going with radioactive. One word to describe Kyrie Irving. You know what it is for me? My word is complex. I think Kyrie's an intelligent guy. I think he's a thoughtful guy. I think he's among the greatest basketball players on planet Earth at this time. But he's complex. You know, like, I don't get the sense we're going to do a Last Dance with Kyrie 30 years from now and listen to him relive his playing days and work himself up to a point where he gets emotional because he played with such an unquenchable fire that still can't be put out to this day. I don't get the sense that that's going to happen with Kyrie Irving, who's had his flat earth theories, who's clashed at times with LeBron James, who's had reported mood swings. Like, Max called Kyrie the most talented player in the history of basketball. I don't know how to possibly quantify that. I know Kyrie is an exceptional talent. Is he that? I mean, Wilt Chamberlain led the NBA in scoring and rebounding and assists in individual seasons. That's fairly talented to me. Michael Jordan was exceptional in every offensive category, and he won a Defensive Player of the Year award. So I can't quantify the most talented in the history of basketball. He's good. He's complex. We've been asking you throughout, if you could give Michael Jordan any other running mate in NBA history other than Scottie Pippen, who would it be? Back to the phone lines we go on 888-729-3776. Burling from Wisconsin, who do you say?
I would probably say Shaq because he's a dominant guy inside and his physical toughness.
Burling, go ahead.
But if I would pick somebody from today, I would pick Giannis, but otherwise Shaq all time.
Burling, thanks for the call. We've had a couple of Shaq calls today. And again, you put Shaq with Michael Jordan, I get the sense you're going to win more than one championship together. That's a good point. Ryan from Ohio weighing in with a contemporary player. Ryan, who do you got?
I have Klay Thompson, first of all. He's a lockdown defender. He shoots the lights out of the ball. And doesn't appear to be somebody that wants the spotlight. I don't think you mentioned Shaq, you mentioned LeBron, Giannis, you mentioned all the superstars. I don't know that you put superstars together. You know, I think it worked in L.A. with Kobe and Shaq, but that obviously became a little toxic. I think Klay Thompson, I mean, he's won it with Steph, and he replaced Steph with Jordan. There's no stopping those guys.
We appreciate the call. That's an interesting one. You know what? Because, see, here's the thing about Scottie Pippen, is that Scottie Pippen was a superstar player who was willing to play the Robin role to Michael Jordan's Batman. I wonder if you would have that from other guys like LeBron James, who are great on their own, right? Would they be willing, would LeBron James be willing to do what Dwayne Wade did to accommodate LeBron James in Miami? Would he be willing to do that with Michael Jordan? It's, of course, a great hypothetical. I think we've seen Klay Thompson do it with Golden State. That's a good thought. Chris from Idaho. Chris, who do you think?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. I'm going to have to say Karl Malone. With his ability to chop the basket, rebound, hit open J's, I think with Jordan's ability to take on double teams, it would be a dynamic duo right there.
Boy, that's another great thought, right, Karl Malone? And obviously, you know, the combination between Malone and Stockton in Utah, one of the greats in the history of the NBA. Give him a guy like Michael Jordan. It's a tantalizing thought. There are no wrong answers here, as we've continued to talk throughout this one for the past 90 minutes or so here on ESPN Radio. A reminder, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast. It's presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Coming up, Mike Tyson looks to be back in great shape, but does that really mean he might get back in the ring? We're going to hear from Max and Stephen A. coming up next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and simulcast on ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the second hour of today's show today, go check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC. Money in the bank when Mike Tyson gets in the ring, right? Once upon a time it was, but here in 2020, say it ain't so, Mike. Of course, there is video on the internet circulating about Iron Mike hitting the gloves, looking like the Iron Mike that became the most feared man in the heavyweight division. But would he really fight again? Max made the point this morning about how Mike Tyson could return to the ring.
It's fine with me if he returns, if he checks out health-wise and everything. If you match him right, not in with one of these super heavyweights in their prime, but if you take another guy around his size who's also an older fighter maybe or a fighter of lesser skill and you match him in an entertaining fight, if that's what Mike Tyson wants to do with his life and he checks out medically, good for him.
Well, Max, with all due respect, ahead, I think that's a non-answer, because the reality is if he were to come back now, it wouldn't be against somebody else that's 50 years old that's being a professional boxer. He talking about, if he going to say I'm back, he talking about now. And I just think, Max, this is just me, the super heavyweights that exist now where you got guys 30, 40, 50 pounds.
Yeah,
I mean, Tyson Fury was 40 pounds heavier than Deontay Wilder. He can't do that. So Mike Tyson is great. He's phenomenal. No. Anybody he hits, he can hurt. But in the end, I don't like the fact that everybody, every other weight division got to come close and weight, Jay and Max. But a heavyweight, you could be 40 pounds heavier than the guy you fight. And that's never made sense to me. I don't like that. Plus, he's older. Just come on home with the rest of us. We all old now, Mike Tyson. It's all right.
Max, I just don't want to see him tarnish his legacy, Mike. Max, I just don't want to see him tarnish his legacy at 53 years old. I mean, yeah, the videos look great, and his hand speed and his agilities are still off the charts. I mean, he is Iron Mike, but to come back in today's age, they kind of I don't want to see that happen to Iron Mike.
Jay Williams couldn't have said it any better. I mean, you know, for too long, people bled Mike Tyson dry. Don King, Robin Givens, the bloodsuckers around him. And they ruined, in some ways, a guy who was the most feared heavyweight possibly of all time. I have zero desire to see Mike Tyson fight again. If I want to see Mike Tyson fight, I'm going to go to ESPN Classic and put on the old fights and remember what once was. Not see a 53-year-old guy in the ring get hurt. No thanks. And I hope anyone, if this is even remotely serious around Mike Tyson, says, Mike, there are other ways to make money. I'm not even worth, to me, this isn't even worth talking about anymore. Mike Tyson's 53. We've been asking the question about another Mike all show. Mike Jordan, if you could give him any other running mate in NBA history other than Scottie Pippen, who would it be? Back to the phone lines we go. Paul from Indiana with one of Indiana's favorite sons. Paul?
I'm not even worth, to me, this isn't worth talking about anymore.
Hello?
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say Larry Bird. 15 shots, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. Didn't need the ball that much. He'd be awesome with Jordan.
That's a great thought. And the competitive fire of those two on the same team would be something to see. Paul, we appreciate the call. Rooks from Virginia. Rooks, who are you going with?
Yeah, I think Pippen worked so well with MJ because he didn't need the ball all the time and is very versatile defensively. So I'm going with Kevin Garnett. I think he could do everything on the court. He could, in his prime, he could guard 1 through 5. And he's also famously as intense and competitive as Jordan or close to it. So I think those two would be a terror for anyone going against them.
I'm not going to argue with anything about KG. That's a great thought there. Rooks, we appreciate it. We've got one more caller to squeeze in. Chris from Florida on line 5. Chris, who do you take?
I would take Kyrie Irving. I love to see Jordan with a ball-dominant guard. Another take is Allen Iverson as well. You know, just to see how that dynamic would work as far as somebody aggressive and how that would pair with Jordan. Definitely. So, yeah, those would be my choices.
All right, Chris, we appreciate it. I'm just trying to imagine for a minute Michael Jordan tolerating Kyrie. Like, because as talented as Kyrie is, Kyrie floating his flat earth theory to Michael Jordan might make Jordan's head explode. That's going to do it for us.